This is Type Radio.
Now we are about to
hear you. We hear
that. This is
Type Radio.
Now we are about to hear
you. We hear that.
Type Radio.
Now we're talking.
Have you lived up to your parents' expectations?
I think in many ways I have. And their expectation was that I would be self-sufficient. Okay, I've done that. And I've exceeded their expectations in terms of just, I guess you could say, making a name for myself in a certain field. They didn't know that I would become so obsessed with letter forms, nor were they aware that I would become a swimmer, you know, water polo player, and go to world championships and things like that. I can't really tell you if I fell short of their expectations in any way. I can't even remember that subject being discussed. But I do know that when I was growing up, I'd disappoint my parents. They'd think, oh, you know, this isn't working out the way we had a plan. But eventually, after a few mistakes, you know, everything kind of comes about the right way.
If you were a font, which font would you be?
Iowan Old Style. That is a representation of my thinking about letter forms for some 20 years before I actually put down those letter forms in pencil outlines. And then Dennis Pasternak, a fellow designer who's here at this conference, did the digitization of those pencil outlines, and we were working under the supervision of Matthew Carter, and that typeface was released in part in 1991, with the full family being released in the year 2000. So, I would say that typeface is probably the best example of my lifelong thinking of letter forms, about letter forms. And then, from that point, I've gone many different directions. And in fact, I was going different directions even before I finished Iowan Old Style. So if my stationery, my personal stationery, is set in a typeface, it's always Iowan Old Style. If my letters to my relatives are sent in a typeface that I have to choose.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any font that you wish you had designed?
Is there any font that I wish I had designed?
Yes, yes.
If you're talking about the work of others whose ideas
admire.
I admire, yes, to a certain degree. I don't see every character in those fonts as being a good representation of my thinking, but there are some that I recognize as being exactly the way I see things and think about things. And it's not uncommon for me to have conversations with other designers. Jonathan Heffler, for instance, saw a K that I had drawn in a script typeface. And he said, I drew that K on vacation, and he sent me a fax of it. And it was remarkable. It was a very novel form, we thought, but not so.
Something in the air, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So he was visiting friends of ours in Italy, mutual friends, and maybe it's just from being in that place, following one another's footsteps.
Was that okay with you? Because you said that you're very competitive.
Yeah, it was fine with me.
Yeah,
yeah. Because my best friends are also my best competitors, and friendship comes first.
So you don't consider the competition to be definitely a bad thing?
Never.
Okay.
Never has it proven to be bad. The only time it's bad is when aspiring designers will actually steal digital outlines and then try to manipulate the form to make it look different. Not necessarily make it look like something that they conceive, but just unrecognizable. And that is a form of defacement that I object to. You don't have to destroy somebody else's work to come up with a new idea. I think the best way is to start from scratch. Then it's totally yours.
Yeah. So how did you become a sign painter? How did it come about?
I was fascinated as a youngster, circus colors and decorative letter forms. And I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, where I was born. And at the time, Tacoma had 3 military bases. And as you can imagine, a sizable red light district, pawn shops and arcades, and the most garish lettering on, loan shops and beer parlors and billiards arcades, things like that. And those kinds of things appealed to me as a youngster. And I knew that I wanted to learn how to do that, how to make those really cool, curly circus letters with swashes and, filigrees and the Tuscan letter with inlines and outlines. So, and I was artistic as a kid. So that became more and more an interest. And I learned speedball lettering when I was in my early teens, and then picked up a brush later and tried to get a job as an apprentice in a sign shop when I was in high school, and finally landed one. So that was in 1969, so I've been painting signs professionally ever since.
But at college, did you study paint? Did you start
studying? Yeah, I studied art, and then investigated many subjects, explored ceramics, printmaking, drawing, painting.
But were they all type related?
Very few were type related.
Okay.
The lettering was pretty much distinct from my art education, except where it came to just playing around with a proof press and, setting type by hand. None of that was supervised. I never took a class. And then when I went to a graduate school at the University of Iowa, I studied painting and printmaking and actually got a proper exposure to typography. Kay Amert continues to teach typography there, and she has taught many notable typographers, letterpress printers, designers. Rick Valicenti of Thirst Type was one of her students.
So. Yeah, we interviewed Chester yesterday.
Thirst Type.
Yeah. In what way is sign painting different in structure and appearance than traditional type, or traditional type than other forms of type?
Yeah, well, type is has always been made to read from arm's length or less, unless you're talking about big wood types, poster types. That's a separate classification of category of types. I'm not talking about wood types. I'm not talking about big publicity types for broadside. In this day and age, the sign industry has gone from the hand lettering look to just blowing up typefaces, whether it's antique Olive or Futura or Helvetica, something, using letter forms that were made for the printing medium to set large signs. And I must say, it's not always appropriate to do so. What the sign field really needs now, and it's happening slowly, are sets of letter forms that read well from a distance, not just from arm's length. So we're talking about reading distance and the concepts that go into making a letter form, with the realization that perspective will come into the picture, where these letter forms that I make, which are as tall as I am, when seen from half a mile away, will read well and look right in that setting.
What do you think of the Paula Scherer lecture last night about her lettering?
Oh, I enjoyed that. She emphasized the fact that she was attracted to tall, thin letter forms as a reflection of the New York landscape, or cityscape, skyscraper letters, you might say. And that's worth pondering,
how your
environment affects your tastes and preferences.
And also the New York kind of thing, like shouting.
Yes.
Larger than life stuff.
She emphasized volume.
I wish I was more elegant. It was something she said, which was sort of Yeah. Made me laugh.
Well, my voice is loud, and so are my letter forms. I
so
can't get away from it.
So what would happen if she lived in Iowa then?
She'd become a pacifist.
Designing
she wouldn't
all these floral scripts, probably.
She wouldn't, right? She wouldn't be shouting. she'd be thinking, you know, microgramma. Stretch it out.
Lowercase. No.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty bland. So you play water polo?
Yeah, still do.
Do you still also like in you play games as well against
yeah,
other
in tournaments.
Teams? Okay. Yeah. So you still, because I used to play when I was a kid, and you still have to wear like 3 pair of swim trunks over each other because underwater they would like kick you in the groin and or try to rip
still,
your rip
still
your,
goes on. Yeah,
it
yeah.
still is.
You need protection,
and you need the ear things
the
too.
Yeah,
because I got my ear ripped off like once.
It's a rough game.
I know.
It's a physical sport. But I have to say, I'm a goalie.
Oh, well, it's easy.
Well,
I used to hang on the top bar of the goal because I got tired of like
cheating.
Water treading all the time.
That's a turnover.
I know.
No, I have a pretty wide wingspan and good quick reactions and long knowledge of the game. It goes back 35 years. And I've never given up the sport. Mm. So at my age, you know, we play in 5-year increments. I'm now playing at 50 and over, and next year I'll be playing at 55 and over. But I can play down. I can play with 35-year-olds. It's just those two guys have such hard shots, you know, that, you know, I don't want to take a ball in the head and have to be hospitalized. I'd rather play with these old guys. Have weaker shots, you know, give me a chance in there. But there are two other guys who are type designers. We have a secret little club. We're all goalies, but in different sports.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they're attending this conference. So if you interview enough guys, you know, ask them if they've ever played sports and if they ever played the position of goalkeeper, and then you'll get to the bottom of the mystery. You'll solve the mystery.
Yeah.
And how's your collaboration then with Type Industry?
House
Industries.
Well, the Type Industry in general, but good, and House Industries
delete,
even better.
Delete House Industries.
Paperback.
Paperback. Yeah.
Most recently released family from House was our first typeface collaboration. I've done some essays, some writing for them, and some critiquing. And even painted their, 4-foot by 8-foot sign that's out by the road in front of the House Industries studios, and I have a very good relationship. So this will be simply the first step in a long-lasting relationship.
Mm.
Yeah. We have other projects planned far into the future, I might add. Okay. But I have a wonderful working relationship with Emigre and Bitstream and some other companies that I've published.
Apart from the sign paint, you also do regular paint, just painting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you still do that?
Landscapes mainly, watercolor.
You still do?
Yeah, I still do.
That's why.
And not just in Iowa, but other places too. Okay. Pacific Northwest, where I grew up.
Do you exhibit?
Lots of time in Italy. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. And when I do, it's almost always in a group show, never a one-man exhibition. And I also do painted letter forms on wooden substrate backgrounds, you know, like